You're listening to the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.
So we've been learning about the laws of evidence. What kind of evidence is required to assert or demonstrate that someone is dead, at least to the point that it allows his wife to remarry? And we've said all the time that the rabbis are very keen, very anxious to prevent agunot. So our normal standards of testimony are significantly relaxed. And indeed, at the end of the 16th chapter, as just as we're closing the tractate, the Mishnah declares, "Afilu shamami nanashim omrot meit ish ploni dayo." Even if he heard women saying, "Oh, so-and-so's dead," that's enough. And it's really very surprising, this Mishnah, because generally we don't accept hearsay evidence. Hearsay is completely inadmissible. It's mentioned in the fourth chapter of Sanhedrin, but it probably comes in the earlier chapters of Sanhedrin as well. We can't accept hearsay evidence. We'll come across these halakhot. And yet, when we're trying to demonstrate that someone can remarry, well, we've already said that we accept a woman's evidence, which in general is not consistent with normal practice in the courts. And so we're going to accept hearsay as well. And we're going to go further, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. And by the way, the halakha follows Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, "Afilu shama minatinokot omrim, hareyanu hochim lispod velikbor et ish ploni." If we hear the children saying, "Oh, we're going to go to mourn for this person, or we're going to go to bury this person," that seems to be enough. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, so we're going to accept testimony from children. Again, this is completely, and can't think of any other part of halacha where we're going to accept testimony from children. And the Mishnah goes on to say, "Bei mikaven uvein she'ein mikaven," even when they have the intention of testifying or when they don't have the intention of testifying. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says, "B'Yisrael ad she'ein mikaven," as far as an Israelite is concerned, "ad she'ein mikaven," until he intends to have intention, or something like that. It's a very puzzling statement from Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, because we've already made clear that he doesn't require intention. Intention is not required. And by the way, there is another version of this Mishnah, not in our manuscript and not in the traditional printed text, which says, including if he had intention. In other words, kind of with or without intention. I think this part of the Mishnah is puzzling, and I don't think the commentators really explain it adequately. And then Rabbi Yehuda, although the halacha goes according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, and then Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava goes on to say, and maybe this is the key point where the halacha goes with him, "Uvagoy im hayami kaven ein eduto edut." If you're dealing with a non-Jew and he intends to testify, his testimony is invalid. Somehow with a Jew, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says, we accept testimony with intention, or maybe with or without intention, depending on how the text of the Mishnah goes and how it fits with the earlier sayings. But with a non-Jew, somehow we only accept an innocent word. We don't accept a deliberate word, almost as if we take a naive non-Jew, but we don't take one who might possibly have set out to deceive. We're going to reduce our standards of evidence in other ways as well. So the Mishnah is going to go on to say, "Me'idim l'or haner u'l'or halavana." We testify by candlelight or moonlight. This doesn't mean, by the way, we give the testimony by candlelight or by moonlight, but the testimony of seeing the dead man is that he was seen by candlelight or by moonlight. So in other words, we don't demand a clear view of his face by daylight. And we can allow a woman to marry on the strength of a bat kol. Well, a bat kol is a sort of anonymous voice that just booms out. And usually, by the way, this refers to a voice from God. Bat kol normally refers to a heavenly voice. But I think in this case, not. I think this is a human voice, but it's anonymous. And the Mishnah explains, Ma'aseh be'echad she'amad ha'rosh ha'har ve'amar ish ploni ben ish. Ish ploni ben ish ploni mimkom ploni meit. It once happened that a man was standing on the top of a hill and he just called out, so-and-so, this Mr. Smith, son of Mr. Smith from such and such a place, is dead. They just called out his name and they said he's dead. V'helchu ve'lo matzanu sham adam. And they went and they looked for the source of the voice and they didn't find anybody there. This really is an anonymous voice. Ve'hisiu et ishto, and they allowed his wife to marry. So we allow the wife to marry, not just on the basis of hearsay, but on the basis of a voice that nobody can even validate down to its source. And the Mishnah is going to bring another similar example. Maybe similar actually to a sort of, you know, someone caught in a burning building with a cell phone today, or caught in a mortal peril today. Shuv ma'asev et Salmin. It happened at Salmon. This is a village up in the Galil. So all of the, after the destruction of the year 125, the whole of all the rabbis move up to the Galil. That's why all of the nice architectural remains are up in the Galil from rabbinic periods. So Shuv ma'aseh et Salmon, it happened at Salmon, be'echad she'amar, with someone who said, Ani ish ploni ben ish ploni neshechani hanachash v'harei ani met. I am so-and-so, son of so-and-so, a snake has bitten me, and I am dying. So he's clearly not dead, by the way, when he says this, because he's speaking. So he's not dead, but he's given evidence about his own death before he dies. V'halachu acharav ve'lo hikiruhu. And when they went, they didn't recognize him. So it sounds like he was, but they did find a corpse. So at least we know somebody died. But they couldn't recognize him. But of course, they had his identification. Ani ish ploni ben ish ploni. I am the man of such and such a person, son of such and such a person. They had his ID. Vehisiu et ishto. And they allowed his wife to remarry. And in general, we've said before, but it's just worth repeating, that the rabbis are always keen to avoid situations of agunot, of wives who are chained. And we've seen, as we've gone through the Mishnah of Yevamot, okay, there are some situations where the halakha seems to force this situation on, you know, very unfortunate women. But in these situations, it seems like the rabbis are bending over backwards. They're really pushing really back, really strongly on the rules of evidence in order to make sure that in all possible circumstances, women are not left alone, chained as agunot.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.